Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim, Daf Samachay, and we will begin on Daf Samachay Amud Aleph at the Gemara. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Hamud Anam Chaveroi, if somebody made a nether that doesn't allow him to have benefit from someone else, Ematirinlai El Bafonov, we cannot be mad to this nether, as we've been discussing and will continue to discuss the Mitzvah Hashem, the halachas of Ataras Nedarim, of going to Rav to have one's nether annulled. It could only be Ela Bafonov, in front of the person who I made the nether about, presence. And the Ran, quoting the Yerushalmi, gives two pshatim in understanding our Gemara. One pshat that the Ran gives is that the reason is Ipnei Hachshad. There's a concern that if I make a nether regarding you, that I may not benefit from you, you may not benefit from me, etc. And then I went to the Rav to have the nether annulled, but you may not be aware that that has happened, and you'll see me violating the nether. You'll come choshed, you'll come to accuse me of violating the nether. And that's why Chazal said that I should only be mat the nether in front of you. According to this explanation of the Ran, of the Gemara, say the Mefarshim, the Ran and other Mefarshim, it makes no difference if the nether is to benefit you or not to benefit you. Any nether that between me and you, a nether that relates to you, I have to be matter in front of you. The Rishonim ask, if this is the reason, then why is it only in the presence of the person who I was matted, who I said the nether about, must I have the nether annulled? The nether in front of everyone. If somebody heard Reuven making a nether regarding Shimon, and then he sees Reuven violating that, and then someone else sees Reuven violating the nether, why are we not concerned for Chshad? So Rishonim explained that typically only the people who are actually involved in the nether really pay attention and care. Others don't really have anything at stake and really don't pay attention. Furthermore, says the Ran, if this is the reason, then the point of the Gemara is not specifically that the Hataras Nedarim has to be done in the presence of the individual who I made the nether about. That Taurus, he has to be aware of that Taurus Nedarim. And therefore, if I was mat the nether and sent him a message that I was mat the nether, it would also be adequate. But then the Ran gives another explanation. The other explanation the Ran gives is because of Pnei Habusha. If I made a nether regarding you that I'm going to benefit you, I'm going to do something on your behalf, and now I want to retract from the nether, I could only retract from the nether in your presence, which will cause me to think twice and perhaps be reluctant to be mat in the nether. And therefore, Chazal said it has to be done in his presence. If this is the explanation of our Gemara, point out to Rishonim, then it has to, unlike the previous explanation, the Hatara under all circumstances would have to take place in front of the individual who I made the nether about, because we're trying to have me avoid making Hataras Nedarim with Pnei Habusha. Also, it would only relate to Nedarim that I made to benefit someone else. And with Pnei Habusha, we want us to be reluctant to do that, and therefore we have to have a fun of. But if it's not a nether that really speaks to any benefit that you'll receive from me, then there would be no reason to have the nether annulled Bafanov. Rabbeinu Tam goes on to say that if I made the nether to benefit you because I had received benefit from you, there certainly the halacha of Bafanov, that I have to be mat in the nether, if I want to be mat in the nether, it has to be Bafanov applies. And there are actually two explanations on how to understand what Rabbeinu Tam says. Some attribute to Rabbeinu Tam that Rabbeinu Tam is explaining our Gemara. That our Gemara says that the Hataras Nedarim, to benefit, if I made a nether to benefit you, has to be befonov, says the Rabbeinu Tam. That's if only if the nether was done in reaction to something that something positive that you did on my behalf. There, Chazal required that I should be matan neder b'fanav in front of you. If, however, I did not receive anything from you, even though I then still made a neder to benefit you, according to Rabbeinu Tam, I would not have to be matan neder b'fanav. However, there are those that explain that Rabbeinu Tam is coming to be machmer. And Rabbeinu Tam is saying the following. Certainly, whenever I make a neder to benefit you, the halacha is, as Al Gemara is explaining, the hataras nedarim has to be made b'fanav in front of you. Comes Rabbeinu Tam to say that if the neder was made to benefit you, and the reason the neder was made to benefit you was a reaction to something positive, something nice that you did on my behalf, then not only is b'fanav necessary, not only must I be matan the neder in front of you, but it also has to be b'haskamascha, with your consent. Since I made this neder in reaction to something nice that you did on my behalf, I have to be matan the neder. I can only be matan the neder with your approval. Ask the Gemara. The Marik, before we go further, the Marik says that our Gemara is the basis for a psak that we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta, that whenever someone makes a neder based sorrow, if someone is in a situation and he's in a problem and he makes a neder and under those circumstances, then it's very difficult to matter that neder. Explains the Marik, since that neder was made because it's a reaction to what we want from Hashem, so therefore, as Al Gemara is explaining, especially with the point of the Rabbeinu Tam, it's the kind of neder that one should be reluctant to be matter. Ask the Gemara Menonimili, from where do we know this halacha? Amar Rav Nachman the Ksiv. The pasuk says, "V'yoyim Hashem al Moshe b'midjan." Hakadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu b'midjan, "Leich shuv Mitzrayim, go return to Mitzrayim, k'meisu kol ha'noshim." Because all the people who want to harm you, as we discussed in the previous year, have died or are no longer able to harm you. They became poor. Amaloi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, B'midyon Nedarta, you made a neder in Midyon to Yisrael that you will not go back to Mitzrayim, Leich v'hadder nedrucha b'midyon. Go and have your neder annulled in Midyon. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, V'yoyel Moshe, the Pasuk says the Moshe did V'yoyel, and Ein Ola El Shvua, and Ola means a Shvua, the Ksiv V'yova Oysa Ba'oloi, Tzidkiyo entered into an Ola with Nevuchadnezzar, as we're going to learn in the next Gemara, and the Pasuk says V'gab Melech Nevuchadnezzar Morid Asher Shbiya Belakim, Tzidkiyo rebelled against the Shvua that he had made to Nevuchadnezzar, so we see Ola means a Shvua. And as the Mefarshim point out, there are really many other psukim that teach us that the word Ola means a Shvua. The reason the Gemara chose this pasuk is because it relates to the episode between Tzidkiyo and Nevuchadnezzar, which we're going to discuss in a moment. That's the Gemara chose this pasuk. So as the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu had made a neder to Yisrael. The Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu made a neder to Yisrael, that the first child that would be born to him and Yisrael's son, Tzipora, would be a Koymel Avodah Zarah, would be a priest Avodah Zarah, which of course is a very difficult Medrash to understand. The Chiddush HaRim explains what Moshe Rabbeinu meant to say was that Yisrael was an individual who came by his own understanding and recognition to realize who HaKadosh Baruch Hu was. And what Moshe Rabbeinu had made a neder to Yisrael was that his son, he would raise his son in a way that it wouldn't just be that a son would follow what his father did, but a son, by his own recognition and realization, would come to be an Oved as Hashem. But Al Gemara is actually referring to another neder. Yisrael had made Moshe Rabbeinu make a neder that he would not return to Mitzrayim without his consent. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, if you want to return to Mitzrayim, I'm telling you to go back to Mitzrayim, you have to be matan neder in front. You have to be matan neder. The Rishonim ask, how was Yisro able to be, how was Moshe Rabbeinu able to be Matan Neder? Where whom was he being Matan Neder? Yisro had not yet been Megayer, and how could he be Matan Neder? In front of whom was he being Matan Neder? Some Rishonim seem to understand that a Chochem, a Tam Chochem, has the ability to be Matan Neder his own Nedarim. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was Matir his own Neder. Others explain that Yisroi, even though he was still a goy, since the entire nether that Moshe Rabbeinu had made was at Yisroi's request, therefore Yisroi, even though he's a goy, was able to be matter nether. Another teretz that I saw, the Shar HaMelech, explains that if someone is being matter nether because it's a he has charata, he has regret that he made a nether, such a nether can only be annulled in front of another individual, even if the person who made the nether and is having the nether annulled is a Talmud Chacham. But if somebody is being not a nether because of a Pesach, he finds, as we've been learning or will learn, a Pesach to his nether, there the halach is that a Chacham may be matter his own Nedarim. Another Teretz, which is similar to a Gemara that we learned the last blot of the previous perek, was that the nether was that Moshe Rabbeinu's nether was obviously annulled by itself. The entire nether was made only because Yisrael was concerned that Moshe Rabbeinu and his family should return to Mitzrayim with Dosna Aviram could do him harm. But as the pasuk says, Ki Meisu Kol Anoshim, these people no longer had the ability to harm Moshe Rabbeinu, so the nether really had fallen apart by itself, and therefore it didn't require a full-fledged process of Hataras Nedar. It's interesting to note that when this halacha is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that one should not be matter a nether that has to do with someone else, only b'fonof, the halacha, the Ramah says, it's only if it's a Dvar Rishus. It's not a Dvar Mitzvah. But if the reason the nether is being annulled is because of Dvar Mitzvah, then the halacha of b'fonof does not apply. So as Rav Yoinesen Eibshitz and the Nefesh Yoinesen, here, this nether that Moshe Rabbeinu had made to Yisroi, that he would not return to Mitzrayim, was being annulled for Dvar Mitzvah. That Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be the person that would save and lead Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. So why was there a requirement that Moshe Rabbeinu have the nether annulled b'fonav in front of Yisroi? Answers Rabbi Yonasan Eifshitz. But he answers with a question. We know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked Moshe Rabbeinu, to go to Mitzrayim and lead Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Shlach no biyat tishlach." Send it with someone else. Send with Aaron. And the question is obvious. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking Moshe Rabbeinu that he be the person to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to pass on that job to someone else. Answers Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz. Moshe Rabbeinu knew about his nether. To Yisroi that he would not leave Midyan without Yisroi's permission. And of course, the halacha is that he could only, if it's a Dvar Mitzvah, he doesn't have to be Matan Neder b'fonof. But if it's a Dvar Mitzvah that could be done by someone else, then the Ramah's dispensation does not apply. And that was what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Hashem. We have a Neder. I have a nether that I'm not allowed to leave Midian. Are you going to say, and I can't have it annulled, only with Yisroel's consent. Are you going to say it's a Dvar Mitzvah? That halacha only applies if there's no one else to do the Mitzvah. However, Shlach no biyat tishlach. There's someone else that could do it. Aaron could do it. And therefore I have no right to annul the nether unless Yisroel gives me express permission. And that's what happened, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him to Midian, and Yisroel gave him permission to have the nether annulled, and that's how Moshe Rabbeinu was able to go back to Mitzrayim to ultimately take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. And the other neder that we refer to was the neder that Tzidkiyo had made to Nebuchadnezzar and then had annulled. Maimer Dusei. What was the story where Tzidkiyo rebelled? Says the Gemara. Ashkechei Tzidkiyo l'Nebuchadnezzar de kav'achal arnova chaya. Tzidkiyo finds Nebuchadnezzar eating a live rabbit. And as the Mashal explains, why did Nebuchadnezzar do something like this? So the Mashal explains that Nebuchadnezzar wanted to inculcate himself with a terrible axorius, to be a cruel person, and the way a person becomes cruel is by doing cruel things. So he went and he ate a live rabbit. Omle, ishtabedli dolemegalusli vleitepik milsa. So Nebuchadnezzar tells Tzidkiyo, after Tzidkiyo caught him doing this, swear to me that you will not tell anybody what I did, you won't let the public know about this. Ishtab. And Tzidkiyo made such a shvua. L'soif have a komitztar Tzidkiyo begufei. And then Tzidkiyo felt bad about the shvua. And as the Mefarshim explained, the reason he felt bad about making the shvua was because he felt that if he could publicize Nebuchadnezzar's very despicable acts, it would cause people, the other kings and the other nations, to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. Itchel HaShvuasei. So Tzidkiyo went and had his nether annulled. Vomar. He said, and he told over people what he saw Nebuchadnezzar doing. Shomer Nechavetzer de Kamavazanlei. So Nebuchadnezzar heard people embarrassing him, people making fun of him, and he recognized that the reason people were doing this because it must have become known about his acts of eating the live rabbit. Sholach for Isis Sanhedrin Tzidkiyo. So he went and called for Sanhedrin Tzidkiyo. Omlehan, and he said to them, Chazita my ka'ovet Tzidkiyo, did you see what Tzidkiyo did? Lav hochi ishtabe b'shma d'shmaya d'loy megilna. Didn't he make a shvua that he would not reveal to anyone that what he saw? Amalei itchla shvuasa. He asked. He was matter nether. He had his nether annulled. V'amalehu. So Nebuchadnezzar asked the Sanhedrin. Mitchelin ashvuasa. Is the halacha that one can have his nether, his shvua, released? Amalei in. Yes, the halacha is that you may. Amalei befonav or filishloy befonav. Is this halacha that one can have the nether annulled only in front of the person who's affected by the nether, or even shloy befonav? Amalei befonav. It could only be done in front of the individual. Amalei vatan mayavitin. So what did you do that you were matter the shvur, that you were released the shvur not in my presence? Miyad. My Tamalai Matrin Tzidkiyo, why don't you tell Tzidkiyo that you can't have the Shvur released not in my presence? Yad, the Pasuk says, Yeshvul Aretz Yidmu Zikne Bet Tzion. They right away sat on the ground, the Zikne Tzion, Omer of Yitzchak, Sheshomtu Karim Betachteim. They took the pillows from below them. And the first one saying number of Pshatim. One Pshat is that the Sanhedrin was sitting on very comfortable big chairs. But when they recognized that they made this error, they sat themselves down on the floor. Another pshat that the Mefarshim give is that, as we learned, Nebuchadnezzar had summoned the Sanhedrin. And in great respect and honor to the Sanhedrin, he asked them to sit on very special thrones and couches. When they admitted to making this error, he put them and told them to sit on the floor. And the Medrash goes on to continue. He then had them tied between their hair to the tails of horses and had them dragged through the street in punishment for this unacceptable behavior. The Mefarshim asked, the Rishonim asked, how when Tzidkiyo had the nether, went to the Sanhedrin to have the nether annulled, was he able to have it annulled? The halacha is that when one comes to have a nether annulled, tzorich lefaret as another, he has to speak out the details of the nether. Here, how was he able to speak out the details? That was the secret. So one pshat that I saw is that what he said to them was, one pshat that he told them was that he came to Sanhedrin. He said, "I promised, I swore to a person that I won't reveal that he ate a live rabbit." But he didn't mention the name of the person whom he had made the shvuah to, and that's how he had the shvuah annulled. Another teretz is that he told the Sanhedrin, "I made a shvuah to Nebuchadnezzar that I will not reveal a certain secret," and that's how, and that was adequate for the Sanhedrin to be matter the nether. A third teretz that the Shar HaMelech gives is that once he entered the Sanhedrin and he told Sanhedrin that he had charota, that he regretted making the shvuah, that was really enough for the Sanhedrin to annul the shvuah. They still had to complete the process, and at that point it was already permissible for him to tell them the entire secret of what the shvuah he had made to Nebuchadnezzar was all about. So now the question that comes up is, how indeed were the Sanhedrin matter the shvuah that Tzidkiyahu had made? Didn't we begin today's shiur learning that such a shvuah should only be annulled in front of the individual who the shvuah affects? So in fact, Rabbeinu Avraham ben Ahar, a Rishon, says that Sanhedrin had made a mistake. They should have not really made this. They should really have not done this. They had no right to release the shvuah shloi b'fnei Nebuchadnezzar. However, the Ran, based on this question, says that the halacha is, even though we learned the halacha is that one should only be matter the nether, the fun of, the halacha is that b'di eved it's acceptable shloi b'fun of. And here, since either because Tzidkiyahu was a king, or because Tzidkiyahu was suffering so much by not having the shvuah, by having the shvuah over his head not annulled, that's why Sanhedrin relied on the b'di'evet situation and it was ma'ata the shvuah without the presence of a Nebuchadnezzar. Others say the Ritva wants to draw a distinction between a Jew and a Goy. The halacha of b'fanav is only by a Jew, not by a Goy. So if so, what did Sanhedrin do wrong? So the Mefarshim explain, the Shor Mitzvah B'Halacha explains it this way. He says that since there was a question here of Chil Hashem, and here we see that Chil Hashem doesn't apply only in front of Jews. Chil Hashem is also in front of non-Jews. So even though maybe halachically they were technically allowed to be, they were allowed to be Matad the Nether, Shloi b'fnei Nebuchadnezzar, it was still improper to do because of Chil Hashem. Says the Mishnah, Rameir Oimer, Yesh Dvarim Shein Kenoilet, Veinen Kenoilet. The way most Rishonim explain the Mishnah is as follows. As we learned in the previous Daf, when someone comes to have his Nether annulled by a Chacham, he has to have a Pesach. We had a Machloikis between the Chachamim and Rebbe Lezer, if Poischin Benoilad, if we could have a Pesach of an unexpected circumstance, is considered a legitimate Pesach or not. And the Chachamim hold that it's not considered a legitimate Pesach. Says Rameya, there are things that are that may seem that they fall under the category of Noilad, but really, the Einan Kenoilad, they're not under the circumstances of Noilad. And therefore, the way most Rishonim explain our Mishnah, the halacha would be, they would be an acceptable Pesach. But it would be required in the circumstances that we're going to learn in the Mishnah and the Gemara to go to the Rav to have the Neder annulled. It won't be annulled automatically. There are Rishonim that want to explain that our Mishnah is trying to say that these Nedarim are automatically considered annulled. But that's not the Pshat we're going to follow. However, the Chacham do not agree with Rameya. That's the Girsa that we have. The Rosh does have a Girsa that the Chacham and Moedim Loi, the Chacham actually agree with Rameya. Ketzad. So what is such an example? Omar, if somebody says koinim shani any noisi is plainus, I'm not going to marry this particular woman, shavira, because she has a father who's a rasha. Omrloi, and then they tell him mace, that this father passed away, or shasa tshuva, or he did tshuva. Someone said koinim labai zeh shani nichnas. Somebody says, I'm making a nether that I will not enter a certain house. Shekelav ra b'toichai, could there's a bad dog in that house, or shad nachish b'toichai, or there's a snake in that house. Amaloi, and then they tell him, Mesa Kelav, that the dog died, or shenerek hanachish, or the slave, or the snake was killed. And like the Tosfos Yontif says, this is not necessarily what it had to be. It could be that the dog was killed. It could be that the snake died. Just it's typical that a dog people don't kill. It only dies when it dies. And a snake does get killed because it's dangerous. Harein kenoil vein kenoil. These are all considered somewhat like noilad, but they're not like noilad. Because noilad, as we learned, is not a legitimate Pesach. And these circumstances would be a legitimate Pesach. Vein chachamim moedim loy. So the Mishnah says, "Kainim shani nichnas." If somebody said, "I'm not going to marry a woman because her father's a Russia," somebody says, "I'm not going to go into the house because there's this dog or snake in the house." Mace, ask the Gemara, as we learned in the previous year, and then it turns out that the father died. So the halacha is that it's a legitimate Pesach. Ask the Gemara, we learned in the previous year that mace dying is considered an example of noilahu. It's considered an example of noilad. Why is our Ramei and our Mishnah being lenient? Answers the Gemara, Amar Afuna, Nasa Ketoyla Nidra B'davar. Our Mishnah should be understood, Ramei should be understood, that our Mishnah is referring to a case as if the person made a t'nai. He made a t'nai that if this girl's father is a Russia, I won't marry him. But if he died, or he became a tzaddik, he did tshuva, so then he's not a Russia. And the condition that the nether is based on is not here, and therefore he can marry the woman. So it's considered as if he made a condition. The Chachamim, who disagree with Rameya, will hold that since he did not explicitly verbalize his nether as a t'nai, even though it's quite understandable that's what he meant, it's not considered a full-fledged condition, and it would be a situation of noilad, and he could not have the nether annulled. There's an interesting shaila in the Paiskim. What would be the halacha if someone made a nether, the case of our Mishnah, as our Gemara is explaining, that I'm not going to marry this girl because her father's a Rasha, and then it turns out that the father did tshuva. However, after he did tshuva, he's then choizel asura. He goes back and again acts improperly. What is the din? So the Paiskim all agree that let's say someone made such a nether, I'm not going to marry this girl because her father's a Russian. And then it turns out that he did tshuva, and while he was about tshuva, he marries this woman. And afterwards, chas v'shalom, this man again doesn't act properly. His nether was that I will not marry the girl while her father's a Russia. When he married the girl, the father's a Russia. And even though afterwards he does become a Russia, he doesn't have to divorce his wife. But again, what is going to be the halacha, however, that he was not a Russia, he did tshuva. The man did not marry the girl during that time. And then the man became a Rosh again, and now he wants to marry this woman. May he or may he not? So the Renach and the Pnei Moshe both say he may. And they explain that our Gemara is teaching us that he may not, I'm sorry. They're saying, our Gemara is saying that since he's a Rosh, as long as he's a Rosh, he can't marry this man's daughter. And they bring a Raya from a Rivosh. The Ravash discusses the following shaila. If somebody makes a nether that he will not enter Reuven's home, and then Reuven goes and sells that house, so the halacha is, it's not Reuven's house anymore, and I can now enter the home. Let's say Reuven then goes and buys back that house. So the Ravash says, I can't enter the home, because now it's Reuven's home again. Similarly here, yes, as long as the father is about tshuva, he can marry the daughter, but once he is no longer about tshuva, he cannot marry the daughter. The Mishnah Lamelech disagrees, and the Mishnah Lamelech says that we can't compare the two situations. Our case is a case where the person made a tanai, that if the person is a Rasha, I can't marry his daughter. If the tanai, if the basis of the neder falls away, the entire neder falls away, and he could now permanently be allowed to marry the daughter. However, in the case of the Rivash, it's not a case that it's a reason for the neder. It's a metzias, it's a fact. As long as it's Reuven's house, I can't walk in there. While it isn't Reuven's house, as long as it's Reuven's house, I can't walk in there. When it's not Reuven's house, I can walk in there. And therefore, the Mishnah Melech suggests that here, even if the father, with Chas V'Sholem, again not act properly, once he was at one point about Tshuva, he would be allowed to marry his daughter. Rabbi Yochanan gives a different explanation for our Mishnah. He says, Kfar Meis, Kfar Asa Tshuva. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where it's a neder b'tos. It was a neder made an error. He thought that this girl's father is a Rasha, but really this girl's father was dead, or this girl's father did tshuva, and therefore the entire neder was made on a mistaken premise. If that's the case, why, according to Rabbanan, is there a problem? So the Rishonim explained that according to Rabbanan, the Rabbanan made a gzeira that since in a case where he did not die, or in a case where he did not do tshuva, the neder is a neder, Chazal require that in all circumstances, we don't just look as if the neder falls apart by itself. One would have to go through the process of going to a Rav and having the Rav be matter the neder. Maser of Abba, Asker of Abba, on Rabbi Yochanan's explanation, we're going to learn a Mishnah in tomorrow's shir. If somebody makes a neder, I'm not going to marry this specific woman because she's kura, she's ugly. Farina, but she's really not ugly, she's really beautiful. Shchaira, somebody makes a neder, he's not going to marry the woman because she has a dark complexion. Farina levana, but really she has a light complexion. Kutsara, he says, I'm not going to marry this woman because she's short. Farehi arucha, but really she's tall. In all these cases, the halacha is mutaba, he's allowed to marry the woman, the neder is null and void. Loiv neshikur v'nasasna. It's not because she became beautiful. Shchayr v'nasas levana. She was black and she became white. Ktsar v'nasas arucha. She was short and she became tall. El shaneder tos. The entire neder was made in error. So says the Gemara. Bishlam al Rav Huna. According to Rav Huna, that explained that our Mishnah is referring to a situation of Nasa Ketayla Nidra B'Dover, that our Mishnah is like he made a Tanai Tana Tala Nidra B'Dover. So our Mishnah is speaking and teaching us the concept about somebody making Kenedra on condition, and that Mishnah on Daf Samach Vav is teaching us a different concept. It's teaching us the concept of Tana Nidra Tos, the concept of a Nidra made in error. El Rabbi Yochanan. But according to Rabbi Yochanan's explanation of our Mishnah, that's referring to a situation of Kfar Meis, the Kfar Asa Tshuva, that the father died or did Tshuva, and therefore it's a Neder B'Tos. The question is, Lama Lamisni Trei Zimni Neder Tos, why do we have to have two Mishnayas that teach us the same concept of a Neder Tos? Kasha. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan's explanation of our Mishnah is hard to understand. Even though, as we've explained many times, when the Gemara says the word kasha rather than the word tiyufta, it means there's a question, but there's an answer to the question. And what is the answer to the question? Our Mishnah, as Rabbi Yochanan explains, is a neder tos, but as we explained, there's a machloikis ramei and the chachamim, if still hatoris nedarim would be required in this neder tos. Ramei says not, the chachamim say yes. However, the next Mishnah, the case that we discussed, there is no machloikis. So that's why we have to have the two Mishnais. But as Tosfos explains, the Gemara's question is still a good question. Because if both this Mishnah and the Mishnah Daf Samach Vav are referring to situations of neder tos, wouldn't it make more sense, explains Tosfos, that both these cases be included in one Mishnah, that the subject of that Mishnah is neder tos? Why do we have one Mishnah here on Daf Samachay with a number of other Mishnayis discussing other points, interrupting in between, and then speak about Neder Tos, even though the halachas are not exactly identical? The Ran also asks, the why don't we explain that that Mishnah about the woman who's ugly, who he thought was ugly but wasn't, etc., is referring to a situation they made as neder b'tanai, that a person made a neder, I'm making a neder b'tanai that the woman is ugly, etc. So the Ran gives two answers. What, again, so the Ran is asking, why should this not be considered as if he made his nether dependent on a particular condition, and when that condition goes away, the nether is no longer viable? So the Ran answers, somebody making a nether that I'm making a nether, I won't marry this girl if her father is a Russia. So if somebody's a Russia could die. Somebody who's a Russia could do tshuva. But someone who's ugly should become beautiful, or someone who's tall, short should become tall, dark should become light, is unlikely. And therefore, it doesn't make sense to say that that Mishnah is referring to a situation of toila nidra bedava. Another answer that the Ran gives, it depends, we have to look at his wording. In the wording of our Mishnah, he said, shahaviha, I'm making the nether because I believe her father is a Russia. So it lends itself to understanding that it's a situation of toila nidra bedover. There he doesn't use that type of lashon. He just says a fact. Kura, shchayra, ktsara. And therefore, it doesn't seem that that Mishnah is referring to a situation of toila nidra bedover. Oid Amar Rameya. Furthermore, says Rameya, paitzchon loy menakash v'toira. We could use as a pesach a posik. Vayim loy. Somebody makes a nether that he won't give somebody something, he'll do something to somebody, and we tell him, Ilu Hayisa Yodeya, were you aware that by making this nether, Ata Oiva Loi Sikoim, you're over the lav and the tar of not doing revenge, Loi Sitar, not bearing a grudge, Loi Sisna Sachicha Bilvavecha, hating your friend, Ahaftal Reacha Kamecha, you're supposed to love your brother, you love your fellow Jew, V'chai Achicha Imach, you have the obligation to support your brother by making a nether that this person won't benefit from you. Maybe this person is poor and he needs your tzedakah. Shu'ani, he's a poor person. Ve'enata yachal afarnasoy, by you making this nether, you can now not give him support. Omar, and the person who made the nether says, Ilo heyisi yedeya, had I been aware of this, shukain, had I been aware that I'm being over these lavim, lo yisi noida, I would have made the nether. Hareza metor, it's considered a legitimate pesach. And as Duran explains, even though we learned that making a nether and then a Pesach, telling the person, if you were aware that by making a nether, as we learned last week, Kilu Bona Boma, somebody makes a nether, it's as if he built a Boma. All the terrible Gemaras that we learned, how bad it is to make Nedarim, that is not considered a legitimate Pesach. Why is this considered a legitimate Pesach? So the Ran answers that in people's minds, being over a pasuk, one of these lavin, is not as a serious as an aveira as those other concepts. And therefore we are concerned that if the Rav asks the person, if you were aware the severity of making a nether, he may not be honest in saying, I didn't care, and he may lie, even though it's not the truth. We have to be concerned. But a person is going to say the truth and say, yeah, I didn't really care about this pasuk because people don't take these lavim that seriously. Another teretz that the Meiri gives is that in these situations, the Pesach speaks to the nether itself. I made a nether that I'm not going to do something positive for someone else. So that nether is a violation of the pasuk of Leisikaim, Leisitar, Leisisnas Achichab of Avecha. But the nether is a violation of the pasuk. However, when we try to make a Pesach, that you know how terrible Nedarim are, that doesn't speak to the specifics of this nether, and that's why it's not a legitimate Pesach. Another teretz that the Bach gives is just the opposite. The Bach says as follows. Not everybody learned Masecht Nedarim and knows the severity of making a nether. And therefore, when someone is approached and said, had you known that making a nether involves it's such a serious issue. He may know and lie. He may not have known. But everybody knows the psukim of Lysikoim, Lysiter. They're very explicit psukim the Torah. As the Pasuk says, Mashakosu the Torah. And therefore, he certainly was aware. And if he didn't care, it's obviously because he doesn't care, and it'll be honest to say he didn't care. So just the opposite. The fact that these psukim are so well known leads the person to say the truth, because we don't assume that he didn't know what he was doing. Another nafkamina that the Prisha gives is that there's a difference between averus ben adam l'chaveroi, which people are not as concerned about, versus averus ben adam l'mokoyim. And therefore, if somebody's pointed out that when he's making a nether, he's violating averus ben adam l'mokoyim, we have to be concerned that he's not going to say the truth. And the Taz says, and as unfortunately as we know, people are not that careful about Nekima and Netira and hating a fellow Jew as they are careful about other things. But there's another question. There's a machloikis rishonim. The lav of Lysisna esochicha bulvavecha, that I'm not allowed to hate my fellow Jew. There's a question, is that only if it's in private? The Rambam says, Lysisna esochicha bulvavecha is only if I hate him in my heart. But if I make it known that I hate him, I'm not over that lav. Not to say that one should hate his fellow Jew. And other rishonim say, even if I make it public, I'm over the lav. Ask the Mefarshim, according to the opinion of the Rambam, that if I make it public, I'm not over the lav of Lysisnos Achicha Bovavecho, so how could it be if I made a nether, I'm over the lav? I made it public, and once it's public, I'm not over the lav. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna, Rav Katina Rabbanan. Rav Huna said to Rabbanan, Neima, the Mishnah said that a legitimate Pesach is, a person could be approached and said, would you know that you have to support your fellow Jew, and by you making when he's poor and you making the nether, you can't, so were you made the nether? And if he says, I wouldn't have, it's a legitimate Pesach. Ask the Gemara, name it called the man, the person that makes the nether should say, not everybody who's poor is on my responsibility. My the motley la pharisi, behadi kulam la pharisi. What the Ruan explains is that the person who made the nether should say that I will give tzedakah to the tzedakah fund, and the tzedakah fund will support whomever they see fit to receive support, and I won't be over the nether. Why is this a legitimate Pesach? Because I have to support. Answers the Gemara Amalei, and the Oymer Kol HaNoifel Ena Noifel Degabet Chila. And there are two explanations in the Rishonim. The halach is that if someone becomes poor, it becomes first the obligation of his relatives to support him, not of the community. Either because that's the halacha that the relatives have to support first, or because the community doesn't support a poor person until they do proper investigation that the person really is deserving of the support. But how does this poor person live until then? His family has to support him. And that's the case of our Mishnah. Someone's relative became poor. The tzedakah fund doesn't have to support him. And we tell him, were you aware that if he became poor, you'd have to support him? And it's your obligation to support him. And therefore, you did the wrong thing by making the nether. It's a legitimate Pesach. Ask the Mefarshim, so why couldn't he just give the money to someone else, and that person will support him, and it won't go directly from him to him? So some Rishonim say that that's not considered, that's violating at least the spirit of the nether. And others say he doesn't have to do that because he has a legitimate Pesach. And that is indeed the halacha. The halacha is that one has a prior obligation to support his relatives, first his relatives, then his wife's relatives, then the poor people of his city, and then other poor Jews. Says the Mishnah, we could tell a person, if a person makes a nether, he's going to divorce his wife, and we tell him, well, you were weird, you would have to pay the ksuba. Would you have made the nether? He says, no, it's a legitimate Pesach. So first mask, everybody knows that when he gets divorced, he has to pay ksuba. Why is this considered a legitimate Pesach? So I saw a number of answers. One answer is that the Mishnah is teaching us that it's not considered that the person didn't know. A person could really honestly say, we would maybe think that this should not be considered a Pesach because everybody knows he has to pay the Ksuba. Kamashmon, that it is a Pesach. Others explain, and that's what a little mashman, the Mishnah, that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where when the person made the nether, he didn't have any money. And therefore he thought he would not have to give his wife a Ksuba. Then before the divorce, he becomes wealthy. And we tell him, had you known that you would have the ability to pay the Ksuba, would you have made the nether? He says, of course not. That's considered legitimate Pesach. And says the Mishnah, so he made a nether that his wife should not have benefit from him. And the ksuba was a ksuba 400 dinim. And he obligated to give the ksuba. Rebbe. So the man says to Rebbe Kiva, my father left me an inheritance of 800 dinim. I took 400 and he took 400. Shouldn't she only get 200? Do I have to give away my entire inheritance? Amar Kiva, afila at the moichasar roishcha. Even if you have to sell the hair on your head, at the noichle ksubasa, you have to pay out a ksuba. Amaloi, ilo yidis ishukate. If I would have known this, lo yisinoid, I would have never made it the nether. Betira Bekiva, Amar Kiva said it was a legitimate Pesach. Metatli mishtabli ksubasa. Ask the Gemara, this was cash. And we learned the Masechta Ksuba that metatlin, cash, are not obligated to a ksuba. As we learned, because a woman expects to only get her ksuba from karka, from property, not from cash. Even though we also learned that there is a tatkonas ha-ga'inim, nowadays the women do collect their ksuba from a tatlin. On Rabaya, Amish is not referring to cash, it's referring to karka, shava shemayna meis dinner, karka that was worth 800 dinner. Voktani sar roisha. But ask the Mishnah, Rekiva said that you have to use the hair on your head for tperik ksuba. The sarosh metatlihu, here is metatlin. The Rosh explains the hair that's going to be cut, that's oimeli gozes, is metatlin. Hachkama, I feel at the moichel sarosh chavoichel. Even if to eat you have to sell the hair on your head, you still have to pay your ksuba. Shmamino, says the Gemara, from here we see the aim is sanin l'balchayv. We don't have to make an arrangement for a person who can't pay his debts, because here Rekiva was saying you have to pay your debt, and we're not going to make any arrangements on your behalf. Omer of Nachman, Rav Yitzchok. The law is that, of course, we make arrangements. And if somebody will be left penniless by paying off his ksuba, we make arrangements that he doesn't have to pay at all. But we're asked by Erchin, where the Torah teaches us that every person, based on their age and their gender, has a certain erech. Then our law is if the person can't pay the erech, we make him pay what he has to pay, and he's no longer obligated to pay the balance. By ksuba, yes, the halach is, we make arrangements that the person should not be left penniless. But does that mean that the entire balance is cancelled out? He has still this balance to pay the difference, and when he has the ability, he will have to give his wife that balance.